Buster will entertain you with some waltz music.
Is that waltz?
Well, some kind of music. Lawrence Welk. No, I know. Oh, yeah. You're welcome to sign while we're waiting. My friend here from outer space and I have been singing these borrowed songs for some time, and very quickly...
Throw that woman away.
Tom will be arrested for copyright violation. Tom has been playing the piano now for some... How long has it been, Tom? 15, 20, 25 years. That's 25 that. Years. When Tom was a little boy, his mother and father locked him in the room and then said, play. And they let him out 22 years later.
Go to Holden Valley.
For therapy. We run the cold water over him every morning and night, just like the Sprouts. Wake him up to play the Sprouts. Play the chimes. Oh, it's a wonderful life. Tom wouldn't have missed it for a moment. Well, he missed some moments. When Tom is somewhat verbal, he can tell quite a few stories himself about, growing up in Philadelphia, Catholic parochial education, the square of the hypotenuse, any number of things. But rather than boring you to tears, Tom is already crying. We'll sing a few songs. And here's a little song that we ran into some years ago when we ran into the man who wrote it. And he wasn't in quite the state. Well, now he's actually been lying in state for some time. But
he's dead.
He's dead. And that's too bad. Okay.
Ma. She was young, she was pure, she was new, she was nice, she was fair, she was sweet 17. He was old, he was vile, and no stranger to vice. He was base, he was bad, he was mean. He had slyly inveigled her up to his flat to see his collection of stamps. And he said, as he hastened to put out the cat, the wine, his cigar, and the lamps, "Have some Madeira, Madeira. You really have nothing to fear. I'm not trying to tempt you, that wouldn't be right. You shouldn't drink spirits at this time of night. But have some Madeira, Madeira. It's really much nicer than beer. I don't care for sherry, one cannot drink stout. And port is a wine I can well do without. It's simply a case of Sheko or Sagout. But have some Madeira, Madeira. Bada, bada, bada." Unaware of the wiles of the snake in the grass, of the fate of the maiden who tokes, she lowered her standard by raising her glass, her spirits, her eyes, and his hopes. She sipped it, she drank it, she drained it, she did. He quietly refilled it again. Then he said, as he secretly carved one more notch on the butt of his gold-handled cane, Handsome Madeira, Madeira, I've got a small cask of it here. And once it's been opened, you know it won't keep. Do finish it up. It will help you to sleep. Have some Madeira, Madeira. It's really an excellent year. Now, if it were gin, you'd be wrong to say yes. The evil gin does would be hard to assess. Besides, it's inclined to affect me prowess. So have some Madeira, Madeira. Money, money, money. Then it flashed through her mind what her mother had said with her antepenultimate breath. Oh, my child, should you look on the wine when 'tis red, be prepared for a fate worse than death. She let go her glass with a shrill little cry. Ah, crash, tinkle, it fell to the floor. When he asked what in heaven, she made no reply. Up her mind and a dash for the door. Have some Madeira, Madeira, rang out down the hall loud and clear. A tremulous cry that was filled with despair as she paused to take breath in the cold midnight air. Have some Madeira, Madeira, the words seemed to ring in her ear. Until the next morning, she woke up in bed with a smile on her lips and an ache in her head. And a beard in her ear hole that tickled and said, have some Madeira, Madeira.
Well, we took our little nephew Sam and he heard that, oh, a couple months ago. That was his favorite song. He thought it was about cake. Tom does, too. Sing a little song here at Holden Village. We have a number of wonderful mavericks, plumbers, and electricians, and mechanics, painters, carpenters, all sorts of people. Well, yes, all sorts. And this is sort of the way the work gets done around here, and it's a lot of fun. It's sort of like the Great Circle of Love, backwards.
'Twas on a Monday morning, the gas man came to call. The gas tap wouldn't turn, I wasn't getting gas at all. He tore out all the skirting boards to try and find the main, and I had to call a painter in to come and paint the main. Oh, it all makes work for the working man to do. Excuse me, I turned two pages, he called the carpenter in. Where did he go next? Oh, 'twas on a Tuesday morning, the carpenter came round. He hammered and he chiseled and he said, look what I found. Yes, he did. Your joists are full of dry rot, but I'll put them all to rights. Then he nailed right through a cable, and out went all the lights. So it all makes work for the working man to do. 'Twas on a Wednesday morning, the electrician came. He called me
Mr. Henderson,
which isn't quite my name. He couldn't reach the fuse box without standing on the bin, and his foot went through a window, so I called the glazier in. Oh, it all makes work for the working man to do. 'Twas on a Thursday morning, the glazier came round with his blowtorch and his putty and his merry glazier soul. He put another pane in, it took no time at all, but I had to get a painter in to come and paint the wall. Oh, it all makes work for the working man to do. 'Twas on a Friday morning, the painter made a start. With undercoats and overcoats, he painted every part, every nook and every cranny, but I found when he was gone, he'd painted over the gas tap and I couldn't turn it on. Oh, it all makes work for the working man to do. On Saturday and Sunday, they do no work at all. So 'twas on a Monday morning that the gas man came to call.
And true, that they'll work day and night for us up here. And that's the truth. Again, no, let's wait a minute. The elephant. Next, we'll sing a little song about the elephant. Completely unrehearsed. dedicated to my good friend, Don Johnson. It's on page 32.
An elephant's life is tedious, laborious, and slow. I've been an elephant all my life, so I bloomin' well ought to know. He never forgets a name or face, oh. He knows his way from place to place, oh. remembers to be dutiful and when to push and when to pull. And when he's dead, the dealer calls and buys his tusks for billiard balls. And all because an elephant's got a perfect memory. That wasn't the life for me, so I'm suffering from amnesia. My mind's a perfect blank. Now life is very much easier. Amnesia's to thank. I'm being psychoanalyzed. I lie on a divan and flap my ears and try to look as balmy as I can. I'm an introverted, elephocentric hypochondriac, and I'll stick in the elephant's nursing home till I get my memory back. I'm suffering from hysteria. I nearly split my sides.
Watch the elephant go weird, giving little children fries.
Yes. I told my psychoanalyst that I'm a sacred cow. I'd like to carry a howdah, but I can't remember how. I'm an introverted, elephocentric hypochondriac, and I'll stick in the elephant's nursing home till I get my memory back. I suffer from schizophrenia. It comes on me in spells. Sometimes I'm king of Armenia,
and others I'm Orson Welles.
I tell them I'm Napoleon and all that sort of bunk, and all the time they never guess
I'm
laughing up me trunk. I'm an introverted, elephocentric hypochondriac, and I'll stick in the elephant's nursing home till I get me memory back. Practicing me trumpet half the night. And I'll stick in the elephant's nursing home till I get me memory back.
Now here's a song about the GNU. I don't know.
All
our friends in the kitchen who were thoroughly a GNU. No. Actually, lovely song. Take a stroll while you're listening to it. A year ago, last Thursday, I was strolling in the zoo when I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons and the number of quills a porcupine has got. I asked him, "What's that creature there?" He answered, "It's a hawk." I might have gone on thinking that were true if the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked, "I ain't a hawk, I'm a GNU. I'm a GNU. I'm a GNU. The nicest work of good nature in the zoo. I'm a GNU. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoo's wahoo. I'm a GNU, spelt G-N-U. I'm not a Campbell or a kangaroo. So let me introduce, I'm neither man nor moose. So GNU, GNU, GNU. I'm a GNU. I had taken furnished lodgings down at Rustington-on-Sea, whence I traveled down to Ashton-on-Tyne it was. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my bed, stuffed and mounted was a face I thought I knew. A bile?
No.
An okapi?
Could it be a hearty beast? Then I seemed to hear a voice. I'm a GNU. I'm a GNU. Another GNU! I wish I could gnash my teeth at you. I'm a GNU. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoo's wahoo. I'm a GNU, spelt G-N-U. Call me Bison or Okapi and I'll sue. Nor am I in the least like that dreadful, hearty beast. Oh, GNU, 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 I'm a GNU. GNU, 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 I'm a GNU. GNU, 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 I'm a GNU.
Oh, a story of romance for that great romantic upstairs, Keith Smith, who loves this song. Oh, the passion with him. The Warthog, that's right. We should tell you that Keith bears no resemblance to the warthog, or Germanix onticus, as he's called by his friends and neighbors. But he does like the song, and we'll sing it for him. Take it, my son.
The jungle was having a party, a post-hibernation ball. The ballroom was crowded with grazing gazelles, gorillas, and zebras, and all. But who is that animal, almost in tears, pretending to powder her nose? A poor little warthog who sits by herself in a pink satin dress with blue gold. Again she is nobody's choice, and she sings in a sad little voice.
No one ever wants to court a warthog, though a warthog does her best. I spent a lot of money for a warthog. I am kiss-proof and prettily dressed. I've luster rinsed my hair, perfumed here and there. My gums were tinted when I brushed my teeth. I'm young and in my prime, but a wallflower all the time, 'cause I'm a warthog, just a warthog. I'm a warthog underneath.
Take your places, ladies and gentlemen, for the ladies, excuse me.
Excited and radiant, she runs on the floor to join the furore and fuss. She taps on each shoulder and says, excuse me.
But each party replies,
excuse us.
Then, having no manners at all, they sing and they dance around the hall. No one ever wants to court a warthog, though a warthog does her best. Her accessories are polished for a warthog. She is perfumed and dazzlingly dressed. We know her these and those are like Marilyn Monroe's. Her gown is just a scintillating sheath.
But she somehow fails to please, 'cause everybody sees that she's a warthog, just a warthog. She's a warthog underneath.
This warthog who nobody loves.
Then stops in amazement, for there at the door is a gentleman warthog impeccably dressed, in the act of removing his gloves. His fine chiseled face seems to frown as he looks her first up and then down.
I fancy you must be a sort of warthog. Though for a warthog, you look a mess. That makeup's far too heavy for a warthog. You could have chosen a more suitable dress.
Did you have to rinse your hair? If that's perfume, give me air.
I strongly disapprove of scarlet teeth and bad copy. But let us take the floor, 'cause I'm absolutely sure, 'cause you're a warthog, just a warthog. The sweetest little, neatest little, dearest and completest little warthog underneath.
For all seriousness aside, we'll sing a song for Libby, who was asked for this song time and again, and like the sadistic people we are, we've refused her until she leaves. But it's from, we sang it last, it was a long time ago. September 22nd, Bilbo's birthday. And Libby's hung around since then, and now we'll get rid of her. Wonderful girl, Libby.
I sit beside the fire.
It's called I Sit Beside the Fire and Think, and Bilbo sings at the age of 133, so my voice sounds fine for it. Next.
Right.
I sit beside the fire and think of all that I have seen, of meadow flowers and butterflies in summers that have been, of yellow leaves and gossamer in autumns that there were, with morning mist and silver sun and wind upon my hair. Of how the world will be when winter comes without a spring that I shall ever see. For still there are so many things that I have never seen. In every wood, in every spring, there is a different green. I sit beside the fire and think of people long ago, and people who will see a world that I shall never know. But all the while I sit and think of times there were before, I listen for returning feet and voices at the door. Helbereth Kilthoniel, Silevren Penamiriel, O Galadrem Minenoroth, Panduen Arandiriel, O Galadrem Minenoroth, Panuilos Lelinathon, Nephiasi Nephiaron. I listen for returning feet and voices at the
Coward song called We Must All Be Very Kind to Auntie Jessie. Children, take note. Parents, this is the way to discipline. House guests staying too long? Sing this to the kids.
I remember clearly when a tiny little child, my auntie came to stay with us. Maybe as a family we were a trifle wild, our spirits ran away with us. Every single day when we were at play, mother used to creep into the nursery and say, we must all be very kind to Auntie Jessie, for she's never been a mother or a wife. You mustn't throw your toys at her
or make a vulgar noise at her. She hasn't led a very happy life.
You must never lock her playfully in the bathroom
or play tunes on her enameled Spanish comb.
The one pleasant to behold, she's a heart of purest gold, and charity, you know, begins at home. Relatives who come to stay are generally inclined to fray the children's nerves a bit. Something in a maiden aunt just stupefies the mind. A virtue's path one swerves a bit. Though our childish joys may have made a noise,
Mother used to murmur, though
I know boys will be boys. We must all be very kind to Auntie Jessie and do everything we can to keep her bright.
If you and you're in the underground, you make a funny noise and sound. It's very rude to laugh at her outright.
You must never fill her nightdress case with beetles or beat up her Horlicks malted milk to foam.
Though her kiss is worse than death, it's unkind to hold your breath. For charity, you know, begins at home. We must all be very kind to Auntie Jessie and encourage her to see the sunny side.
It isn't kind to rush at her and hurl the blacking brush at her. It's things like that that trample on her pride.
Don't molest her with a pail of icy water. If when wandering at night she chanced to roam.
Though the attic stairs are steep, death comes peacefully in sleep. And charity, we hope, begins at home.
We sat in 1935, and we call the 70s decadent. Okay. Well, we'll go back a century or so and sing some Gilbert and Sullivan songs, right? Now, a lot of people know Gilbert and Sullivan. For those who want to come up, join in, pick a favorite. We'll sing about three, and then, I don't know, we'll do what we can. But there are some who know the choruses, at least a few things. Jill, Nancy, who else?
I don't know. Anybody.
Cliff? No. Well, I don't know. Don knows some of them.
What are we singing?
Oh. Well, you have to join in the chorus on this one, too. It's the Pirate King song, which we've sung far too often.
Better far to live and die under the brave black flag I fly than play a sanctimonious part with a pirate's head and a pirate's heart. Away to the cheating world go you, where pirates all are well to do, but I'll be true to the song I sing and live and die a pirate king, for I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. For I am a pirate king, you are of the pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. It is, hurrah for the pirate king, hurrah for the pirate king.
Hurrah for the pirate king, that's all you have to say.
When I sally forth to seek my prey, I help myself in a royal way. I sink a few more ships, it's true, than a well-bred monarch ought to do. But many a king on a first-class throne, if he wants to call his crown his own, must manage somehow to get through more dirty work than ever I do. For I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. For I am a pirate king.
Hurrah,
hurrah for the pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. It is.
Hurrah for the pirate king.
Hurrah for the pirate king.
Well, very good, really. And so, the pirate king and Ruth, his nurse, come back to tell him the good news that he can be a pirate again, which doesn't make him too happy.
When you had left the pirate fold, we tried to raise our spirits vain according to our custom old, with quips and quibbles quaint. But all in vain the quips we heard. We lay and sobbed upon the rocks. Until to somebody occurred a startling paradox.
A paradox?
A paradox, the most ingenious paradox. We've put some quibbles, heard it blocks, but now to beat this paradox. A paradox, a paradox, the most ingenious paradox. A paradox.
We knew your taste for curious quips, for cranks and contradictions, queer, and with the laughter on our lips, we wished you there to hear. We said if we could tell it him, how Frederick would that joke enjoy. And so we risked both life and limb to tell it to our boy.
That paradox,
that, paradox, that most ingenious paradox, we quips and quibbles heard in flocks, but none to beat this paradox. Oh, oh, oh.
A paradox, a most ingenious paradox. A paradox.
For some ridiculous reason, to which, however, I've no desire to be disloyal, some person in authority, I don't know who, very likely the astronomer royal, has decided that, although for such a beastly month as February, 28 days as a rule are plenty, 1 year in every four, he's decided it should be 9 and 20. Through some singular coincidence, I shouldn't be surprised if it were owing to the agency of an ill-natured fairy. You are this victim of this clumsy arrangement, having been born in leap year on the 29th of February. And so, by a simple arithmetical process, you'll easily discover that, though you've lived 21 years, yet if we go by birthdays, you're only 5 and a little bit over.
Dear me, let's see. Yes, yes, with yours my figures do agree. How quaint the ways of paradox. At common sense she gaily mocks. Though counting in the usual way, years 21 I've been alive. Yet reckoning by my natal day.
I am a little boy of 5.
He is a little boy of 5.
A paradox, the most ingenious paradox.
A paradox. A curious paradox. A most ingenious paradox.
Well, we'll sing one more of the... I am the captain of the Pinafore, and a right good captain, too. You're very, very good, and be it understood, I command a right good crew. We're very, very good, and be it understood, I command a right good crew. Right. And then towards the end, you sing What Never, and I'll try that. Everybody should be in the gown with here.
I am the captain of the Pinafore,
and a right good captain, too.
You're very, very good, and be it understood, I command a right good crew.
Very, very good, then be it understood, he commands a right good crew.
Though related to a peer, I can hand a reef and steer, or ship, or sat, or gee. I've never known to quail at the fury of a gale, and I'm never, never sick at sea.
What, never?
No, never.
What, never?
Well, hardly ever.
Give three cheers and one cheer more for the captain of the Pinafore.
Thank you, chorus.
I do my best to satisfy you all.
And with you, we are quite content.
You're exceedingly polite, and I think it's only right to return the compliment. We're exceedingly polite, and he thinks it's only right to return the compliment. Bad language or abuse I never, never use, whatever the emergency. Though bother it, I may occasionally say, I never use a big, big D. No, never. Well, hardly ever.
Then give 3 cheers and 1 cheer more for the heartless captain of the Pinafore.
Then give 3 cheers and 1 cheer more for the captain of the Pinafore.
One last song from Pinafore. Tom will do the Monarch of the Sea. And these cousins.
Thank you.
I am the monarch of the sea, the ruler of the Queen's Navy, whose praise Great Britain loudly chants. And we are his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. And we are his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins and his aunts. When at anchor here I ride, my bosom swells with pride, and I snap my fingers at the foeman's horn. But when the breezes blow, I generally go below and seek the seclusion that a cabin grants. And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins, and he reckons by the dozens and his aunts.
Okay, the man with mud. Song that's we've sung for years. Yes, what time is it? Oh, it's time to stop.
And it's the hippopotamus song.
A bold hippopotamus was standing one day by the banks of that cool Shalimar. He gazed at the bottom as it peacefully lay by the light of an evening star. Away on a hilltop sat combing her hair his fair hippopotami mane. The hippopotamus was no ignoramus, and sang her this sweet serenade. Mud, mud, glorious mud, there's nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud.
That fair hippopotama he aimed to entice from her seat on that hilltop above. As she hadn't got a ma to give her advice, came tiptoeing down to her love. Like thunder the forest re-echoed the sound of the song that they sang as they met. His inamorata adjusted her garter and lifted her voice in duet.
Mad, mad, glorious mad. Nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and then let us
walk. Now more hippopotami began to convene by the banks of that river so wild. I wonder now what am I to say of that scene that ensued by the Shalimar side. They dived all at once with an ear-spitting splash, then rose to the surface again. A regular army of hippopotami, all singing this haunting refrain. Bum, 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 bum. Mud, mud, glorious mud. Nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there we will wallow in glorious mud.
Given the slightest encouragement, we'll sing what we just found, some later news from our friend, the hippopotamus, that he's just written to us. You can sing the chorus again.
That brave hippopotamus, whose love song we know, is now married and father of 10. He whispers, God rotamus, he watches them grow, and he longs to be single again. He'll banter no more on the banks of the Nile, which Sadat is flooding this spring. A hippopotamus in silken pajamas, no more will he want them to sing.
Mud, mud, glorious mud. There's nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow.